Change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Number 22.
Jesus came into my heart. have ceased from my wanderings and going astray, since Jesus and my sins, which were many, are all passed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus
came into my heart. And the things of the city beyond I can see,
since Jesus came into my heart.
Since Jesus
came into my heart.
Since Jesus came into my heart.
Lots of joy for my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Now let's stand together to sing number 18, He Lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. Let's stand together, please, and sing number 18.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation through His blood. He'll ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christ. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find Him. Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. He'll ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
To 8, verse 34. To 38. Mark 8, 34. And when Jesus had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Lord will bless his word to us all. And now, Roy Nellan with a message in song.
When I think how Jesus suffered on the cross for me, dying there in shame and agony, so that I could be redeemed and live eternally, I can do no more less than now exclaim, I'll be a friend of his through all my days. I'll walk life's road with him and sing his praise. Though others pass him by and walk away, I'll be a friend of his will obey. I never could repay the debt I owe for all he's done for me. All well I know, but I can live for him who died for me and be a friend of his for eternity. Someday in the glory I shall see him face to face. There I'll fall before his nail-pierced feet. Thank him for his mercy and redeeming love and grace. His sweet name adoringly repeat. I'll be a friend of his through all my days. I'll walk life's road with him and sing his praise. Though others pass him by and walk away. I'll be a friend of his will obey. I never could repay the debt I owe for all he's done for me. Full well I know, but I can live for him who died for me and be a friend of his for eternity.
Have another opportunity to join with us. Number 20. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Come to me. I'll be thy stay. Find in me thine all in all. Let's stand together, please, and sing number 20.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small.
Come in me,
I'll be thy stay, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a
Jesus made it all to him.
complete.
Jesus died.
My soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all.
Thank you, audience. Be seated.
If you only knew. depths of God's love. If you only knew, Christ came from above. He came to save sinners condemned by the fall. Each lost son of Adam who'll answer the call. If you only knew, if you only knew, if you only knew how soon you might die. If you only knew how soon you might cry. For rocks and for mountains to hide you from one whom you have rejected, God's crucified Son. If you only knew, if you only knew, if you only knew the peace he could give. If you only knew, for him you would live. You'd bow in surrender, you'd fall at his feet. You'd find in surrender a life that is sweet. If you only knew, if you only knew.
I'm going to ask that we bow in prayer at this time. Every head bowed. Let us quieten our hearts before God, that each of us personally this evening may expect God to deal with us in a personal way. We do not ask God to be with us, for we know He is here. We know that tonight the Holy Spirit is with us. And we know that the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to men and women the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And He's going to do that this evening. As we just bow in prayer, it may be that we feel so very far from God, so very lost, so very alone, so bewildered, so confused about the message of Christianity, and yet somehow deep, deep within, there is an aching void, a hunger, a longing, a yearning to know God, to know peace, to know new power and to prove the Lord. God knows about your searching. Tonight He's going to bless. Oh God in heaven, as we bow in prayer, there isn't a secret hidden from You. We know this. There isn't a longing, a yearning in our heart that is not known to You. Oh God, tonight, just speak to us from Your Word, the Bible. Speak to us tonight, oh God, in such a way that every heart will be challenged and blessed, and some tonight who need You so much
will step into your kingdom by faith. Lord, you know that this meeting has been prayed for, and the whole purpose tonight, O God, is that men might discover you. And you are here tonight to help them. Dear Lord, bring them to yourself. And may they go home rejoicing in the living Lord. We ask it through your precious name. Amen. Jesus said, "What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul?" What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Alec Rose was the first man to go solo around the world in a small ship. When he left Portsmouth, England, he was a man who had given little thought to God. Certainly, if we'd have asked him as he left the harbor at Portsmouth, "Do you believe in God?" his answer would have been very much in the negative. Certainly, in a personal way, no, he did not. If there was a God who created the world, he may well have answered, "Yes, I suppose so." But if this God loves me and knows me or cares about me, I just don't know. If you'd have asked Alec Rose, "Do you have a soul? Are you a spiritual being?" I think he would have answered, "I don't know. I don't think I have." When he returned from that lonely voyage around the world, he came back a man convinced that God is. He came home a man convinced that there was more to him than the physical. When speaking to reporters, the first thing of which he spoke was the fact of the reality of the spiritual. He said, "I was so alone, and I knew that I had a soul, a spirit." And he said, "I knew on that voyage that there was so little between me and eternity that I spent much time in prayer." Being shut off from people, out there in a world all of his own, with nothing but the sea, himself, and God. And that brought him to his senses to know that he was a spirit being. Jesus brings us right here to realize the value of our spirit, the value of our soul. I know there is a difference between the soul and the spirit, but tonight we're going to look at this as if this verse was simply speaking about us as a spirit being. For I believe that is the meaning behind this challenge from the Lord. What if we should work and scheme and plan and win the world, its fame, its fortune, its money and wealth? What if we should have all this and lose our spirit, our soul, lose ourselves in eternity? And there are a number of things which I think we can learn from these verses that the Lord Jesus spoke. Firstly, we must see how highly God values the human soul or spirit. Maybe we could see from the words of the Lord Jesus how lightly or how little natural man values his own spiritual being. In fact, millions and millions of people live as if they were not spiritual beings. By far the majority of people in the world live as if they were but physical beings. As if the only thing that were important were the fact that they are a physical being and that they can enjoy material things. Just think how much time of every day those of us gathered here this evening spend on ourselves. Ourself without the spirit. Just think of the time we spend feeding ourselves, entertaining ourselves, providing money for all the necessities and many of the things that are not necessities in life. think of how much of our time is geared to the temporal world and how little of time is geared to eternity. If we really were to look into today, since we awoke this morning to this very moment, I wonder what percentage of today has been geared to the spiritual. I wonder how many minutes of today have been given to the spiritual need of our innermost being. And how many hours of today have been spent upon that which one day will decay and disappear from this world. Even as Christians, I don't think many of us has grasped the significance of this, that it is the spirit that matters. What am I doing with the spiritual being that I am? Am I really preparing for eternity? Too many of us say, "Oh, but I'm saved. The Lord has come into my heart. I'm forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven." That's a nice, easy type of believism religion. That's a nice sort of life to have. So it doesn't matter anymore then. The Bible goes on to tell us that faith without works is dead. And the Bible certainly teaches us that if we have been careless prior to our conversion, conversion should bring to us the deep realities of the need of the spirit and of the soul. And we should realize from the teaching of the Lord Jesus and of the apostles that how we live now will determine very much how we enjoy the Lord in heaven. Salvation will be ours, sure, whether we live for Him carelessly or whether we live for Him 100%. That won't alter whether we get to heaven. We won't get any more into heaven because we live for Him with every ounce of our being surrendered to His will. We will be in heaven because Christ died for us. We will be in heaven because the Lord in grace saved us. But, said the Apostle Paul, every one of us must stand one day before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the way we lived our lives. That means that one day we will stand before the Lord and we will give an account to Him as to whether we really took this spiritual being of ours seriously and living for God seriously. Millions in the world don't even think. Most of us that are Christians at least give some thought, perhaps not enough. But there may be some here today, just a few of those vast millions in the world. One or two of you ventured in tonight to discover more about God and about Christ. And you could say honestly this evening, "Do you know, I have never really given any thought to my spirit being. Really, I just live for the time, for the day. I just live for the things of this world. I've never really sat down and honestly thought about my spirit, about eternity, about God, about the future." Then this is your moment to begin to think. Because Jesus says that my spirit and my soul in the sight of Almighty God is of more value than everything else in the entire world. You can bring the tiniest child that's here tonight down front, and God will look at that child and say to you and me, that child is a spirit being. That child has a spirit and a soul. And what that child possesses is of more value than everything else in the entire world. Many of you that have been to London, England, have gone in and looked at the priceless crown jewels. But I'll tell you, if you had 10,000 times the number of jewels that are in that rare collection, it would be a mere nothing compared with the soul of one boy or one girl. If all the factories of the world were owned by one man, he would have a mere nothing compared in value with the value of his own soul. If all the diamonds and the jewels and the gold and the silver and the precious metals of the world were brought together in one gigantic mountain, God would point at it and say, your soul is worth more than that gigantic mound of precious things. God looks upon the human soul and says, there's nothing in the world, nothing to compare with its value. Why is it of such tremendous value? It would seem to me there are a number of reasons why it is of tremendous value. Firstly, human beings like yourself, myself, are of value to God because we were created in His image. And we were created so that God and man, God and me, God and you might enjoy each other, communicate to each other in time and in eternity. God brought the whole universe into being. God put on this little planet a multitude of different forms of life. Finally, God made man. The Bible says that a triune God was involved. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And they said, let us make man in our own image. And Adam was created. And God gave Adam a partner, Eve. And they were made in the image of God. And God breathed into these people. And they became a living soul. They were different from all other creation. No other part of God's creation could communicate with God. Never has man anywhere in the world noticed that any other creature than the human race has the ability or the desire to communicate with a creator. Nothing in the animal world has any desire to communicate with the creator. But nowhere in the whole world can you find man who is without a knowledge of the Creator and God? Man everywhere is a worshiping creature. It is because every human being is both physical and spiritual. And the potential within man is such that he can communicate with God. He can enjoy God. He can have fellowship with God. He can be guided and led by God. He can be comforted and loved by God. And he can be received into God's everlasting kingdom. Our soul is of value because it cannot cease to exist. 100 years from tonight, I suppose almost everybody here will be dead. And maybe, with the advancement of science, that some may be living on. But I guess most of us will be dead. And yet we will still be alive. 1,000 years from now, not one of us will be really dead. Our bodies will have decayed, will have rotted, been laid to rest or burned. But 1,000 years from now, your soul and your spirit will be living on and on and on in eternity. 1,000,000 years from now, there will be no difference, no change. For your spirit lives on. The spirit of man cannot cease to exist. And the Bible tells us that at death, when the body ceases to function, it only ceases to function because God has called away the spirit out of the body. And the spirit called out of the body goes out into eternity to exist forever. And the spirit of man will be conscious throughout all eternity. It will remember. It will feel. It will understand. It will be able to enjoy God. or it will be conscious of the fact that it's shut out from the presence of God. But the Spirit lives on and on and on and on. Where will you be living in eternity? If you don't think more seriously about the fact that you're a spiritual being, I cannot see that you have much hope of being in God's presence and living in heaven. If you do not take more seriously the teachings of the Bible and the words of Jesus Christ and the love of God expressed through Him, I see you have little hope of eternal salvation, but rather that you have nothing to look forward to but eternal loss. Has God brought you here this evening to challenge you about the need and the reality of your soul and your spirit? Has God brought you here this evening in order to bring you into a new relationship with Jesus Christ, whereby you may become spiritually alive, spiritually alert, spiritually clean, and in spiritual living contact with Almighty God? Is that why you're here? You could come to know God this evening before you leave this building if you will come in faith to Him and believe what He says. The soul is of value. Now, does the Scriptures tell us that God has always valued the soul? Yes, I believe it does, because the Scriptures tell us that Adam and Eve sinned against God. We haven't time to dwell on that story, but most of you are familiar, whether you believe it or not. You know, yes, I believe it does, because the Scriptures tell us that Adam and Eve sinned against God. We haven't time to dwell on that story, but most of you are familiar, whether you believe it or not. You know the story, how that the serpent came, that was the devil in the guise of the serpent, who tempted both Adam and Eve, and they sinned against God. They took of the fruit of the tree, and they disobeyed God, and sin entered into the world. Fellowship was broken. The Bible says they became spiritually dead. They were separated from God. But from that moment, God proved how much He loved man, how much He was concerned about the spirit of man, and God came back to change man's life. God came into the garden. Man did not seek God, and man never does seek God. Not until God first begins to touch the heart of man. And God came into the garden, and God said, "Adam, where are you?" Not because God was in the dark, but because Adam did not know where he was, and God wanted him to think. And God wanted him to come out and say, "I'm running away from you. I'm afraid. I'm lost. Everything's hopeless now." And God said, "It's not." And God has been after men ever since. Though all man has been affected by sin, not one human being has ever been born into the world other than Jesus, the Son of God. No other creature but Him has ever been born without sin. We are born with a sinful nature. We are born with a sinful heart. We are born with a tendency towards sin and wrong. But at no time has God ever abandoned the human race. You read through the Old Testament and you'll find God everywhere pursuing lost, broken, lonely, defeated men. Always pursuing them, always offering them pardon and forgiveness, always offering them new power, always offering them new hopes, always offering to them eternal salvation. God is always after man, and He still is. Tonight He loves you, and He's after you. If you die without Christ and without salvation, if you slip into eternity without being born again and your spirit revived by the power of Christ, it won't be because God did not pursue you and God did not love you, but because you were too careless in this mad material world to take time to think about your need or His love. No one ever dies unloved. Calvary stands out to prove that all mankind is loved, loved, loved of God. And no one ever slipped into eternity unloved, though many slipped into eternity unsaved. And unless you respond to that love, you too will slip out into eternity without Christ, without God, and without hope. Yes, God has ever been pursuing man. The prophets, representing God on earth, wept and cried. They wept for men. They said to Israel in its time of folly and sin, turn ye, for why will you die? The prophets poured out their soul. God loves you, Israel. God loves you. Don't die. And that's how it is tonight. You look at me perhaps and think that I'm over emotional about this tonight, but my heart goes out to you. I say as the prophet of old, turn you, turn to God, for why will you die? Why do you neglect the value of your soul? Why do you neglect the most valuable thing that God ever gave you, that is your spirit? Why do you neglect eternity when life is so brief and eternity so long? Why do you turn your back upon a lover like Jesus? No one ever loved like He loved. No one ever cared like Him. Yes, God proved that He cared. But if you want the greatest proof of God's value, God's estimate of the human soul, you have to look at the Lord Jesus. Why did He come from heaven to earth? Have you ever asked that question? Why did He come? For one reason. He came to reestablish fellowship between sinful man and a holy God. He came to give new life to withered, dying, broken hearts and broken lives and broken spirits. He came to remake men, to reshape men. He came to give back to man what man through sin had lost. He came to save our soul. Some of you say, well, then He doesn't care about me and my problems every day. When I say He came to save your soul, I give that as the first reason, because you live forever. But I'm not saying that He only is concerned with eternity. Too often, the man in the street has been able to level at the preacher that the preacher preaches pie in the sky when we die. And no preacher should ever only preach pie in the sky when we die. For the Bible does not show to us a God that is only interested in taking me to heaven. God is interested in me now and you now. God is interested in your soul. If He comes into your life tonight, He will save you spiritually now. He will give new life to your soul, new life to your spirit, that no one can ever take away. Devils, nor demons, nor men could alter it, change it, or take from you eternal salvation. For the moment you believe and receive Christ, you're saved. And you're saved for time, and you're saved for eternity. But that moment, God will come right into your present-day problems, right into your present-day life. He'll come right into your present-day relationships. He'll come into your home, into your marriage. He'll come right into your school. He'll come right into the factory. He'll come into the shop. He'll come right into today. There's never been a moment in my life since I became a Christian that God hasn't been with me to help me with today. You want somebody to help you with today? Do you want somebody to help you with tomorrow? Do you want somebody to give meaning and purpose to tomorrow? Do you want somebody to help you with tomorrow's problem, that gigantic problem that is too big for you? Do you want new power for tomorrow? To face tomorrow's world? To face the pressures that are coming in upon you? Do you want power? Do you want a life driven and energized and controlled by the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be able to live victoriously in this old immoral world, then what you need is a relationship with God, for He'll not only save your soul, but He'll step right into today and right into tomorrow with you. And He'll be with you every morning you wake, and He'll be with you every morning or every night that you sleep. For Jesus says to the man who trusts Him and the person who comes to Him, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He'll be with you, with you, with you, with you, all the way, the moment you trust Him until you walk into His glorious presence in heaven itself. Now, why did He come? He came to save you. He came to enter into your life today, to your problems. He came to save your soul. And what did it cost Him? How much does God value your soul? I ask you to look down into Gethsemane's garden. And I ask you to see there a man called Jesus, the Son of God, the Maker of heaven and earth. A man kneels in Gethsemane's garden, broken by a weight of sorrow. This man created the universe. He is both man and God. But He kneels in Gethsemane's garden, and as He kneels there, an angel comes down to strengthen Him, for He almost dies of sorrow and grief. The whole burden of sin of the whole world rests upon Him. And He kneels in Gethsemane's garden under the weight of it. And He sweats, as it were, great drops of blood. And He's talking to His Father, God in heaven. And He says to His Father, Father, is there any way men can be saved? Do I have to go to the cross? Can this cup pass from me? Just imagine if you knew everything as Jesus knew all things. And you knew what was going to happen that night with the whips and the mocking and the scourging, the crown of thorns, the agonies, the sorrows, the sufferings of that night. Just imagine what He felt. Just imagine the burden, the weight of it all. And Father said, My Son, the whole of the human race is lost unless you take their place and die instead of them. I cannot righteously forgive one of them or let them into heaven unless you take their place in death. For I have said, the soul that sinneth it shall die. But My Son, if you die in their place, I'll give them everlasting life, if only they'll believe on You and take You into their heart. And Jesus said, Father, I'll go. Your will be done. And Jesus arose and went out to meet those that came to arrest Him. Does Jesus value your soul? Take a look back where He knelt and see the blood stains. Does Jesus value your soul? Does He love you? Does He want you with Him in heaven? Does He care about your sin? Does He care about your problems? Does He care about your loneliness? Does He care about your heartbreaks? Does He care about you? Take a look into the judgment hall. See Him with hands tied high above His head as He leans forward towards the pillar to which He's tied, and watch those whips as they fall upon His back. They fall upon Jesus, the Son of God. They fall upon the One who is Creator of heaven and earth, but they fall upon a man who is both God and man, but a man who came to take your place, to pay the price of your sin, and to give you everlasting life. Whip after whip falls upon Him. The blood begins to pour from those open wounds, and the flesh hangs down. They take Him out of that hall, after mocking Him and dressing Him in purple. Hail, King of the Jews, they'd said only in mockery and shame, but now crowned with thorns, they take Him to the cross. Does He care about your soul? What shall it profit a man? What will it profit you if you go on and on the way you are going, without God, without Christ, without salvation, without forgiveness, without God in your life? Jesus loved you unto death. They took Him out to Calvary, crowned with thorns,
The cross is on the hillside. It lays on the grass. Jesus sees it there and remembers what he said. I lay down my life myself. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And he lays on that cross and gives his hands to the soldiers as they drive through the nails. They drive the nails through his feet. They fix him to that cross. They've dug a hole in the hillside. They lift the cross and they drop it into the hole that has been dug. This was the most horrifying moment of any crucifixion. The physical agonies were just terrible as they dropped that cross. The weight of the victim's body tore down upon nails and cords that held him there. And it was at that moment he looked down upon the soldiers and said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. But why does he die? Mocked, ridiculed, set at naught, humbled before men, despised and rejected of the world. Why does he hang there dying and suffering? Shall I tell you? Because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you with a love that is so wonderful that he stayed upon that cross and expired in agonies of death that you might be saved. He loves you. God says your soul is of more value than all else in the world. Jesus says, I value your soul more highly than my own life, and I died to save it. Can I ask you a personal question tonight? How highly do you value your own soul? For I close by telling you this, that Jesus said, you're going to spend the whole of eternity in heaven or hell. You know where that's going to be. Do you know some of you wish you didn't know? Some of you wish you were in the dark about this. Some of you wish that tonight you could walk out without it being so clear cut, without the whole thing being so obvious. If only you could walk out tonight without knowing, but you do know where you're going to spend eternity. For every one of you in this building tonight knows whether you have accepted Christ as your own Savior into your own heart and whether you've been converted. You say, how do I know if I've been converted? My friends, if you ask a question like that, then you haven't. If you don't know, then you haven't. For conversion is a change of heart. It's a change of life. It's a change of direction. It's a change of loving. It's a change of living. For when a man turns to God because he's a sinner, when he turns to Christ and says, Jesus, I am a sinner, but you love me and died for me, he says from his heart in the words of the hymn writer, love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my soul, my all. Have you ever had a moment when you've realized that you were a sinner, that you had a spirit and a soul that was out of fellowship with God, and that you were on your way to eternity without hope, and you gazed at the cross and you saw in Jesus the only answer to your need, you saw him as your Savior? Has there been a moment when you came to him in faith and asked Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord? You say, I don't remember that. But I go to church and I am a church member. My friends, church membership won't get you into heaven. Good works won't get you to heaven. Zeal won't get you to heaven. Sincerity won't get you to heaven. The Bible says that God had one answer to the need of the soul. The soul can only find new life. It can only be pardoned. My life can only be cleansed through Jesus' death. And Jesus, who died and shed his blood for me, now lives to save me. Now you know this. If you've never invited him into your heart by faith to be your Savior, you're going to leave this auditorium tonight without Christ, without God, without hope, and lost. I don't say you won't have another time to ask him in. You might.
but you will walk out of this auditorium tonight without Christ. And if you should die before you receive Him, you would spend eternity in the darkness of hell. For Jesus said, if you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am. Where is Jesus? In heaven. But, said Jesus, I go to prepare a place for those of you that believe in me, that where I am, ye shall be also. There is a heaven for the believer, and there is the darkness of eternity forever for the man or the woman who carelessly lives and dies without salvation. And Jesus summed up that whole talk about the soul and its value by saying this. All of you are at a point of crisis. Jesus said to them, you have to make a decision whether you're for me or against me. You have to make a decision about your own spiritual future. And your spiritual future is related entirely by your appreciation or love for me. And Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me in this adulterous and sinful world, I'll be ashamed of you when I come with the glory of the angels of heaven. So, said Jesus, you're at a point of crisis. And every one of you in here tonight who is not a committed Christian stands at a moment of crisis. A crisis for your soul, a crisis for your present life, and a crisis about eternity. And it is time that many of you stood up and said, I know that Jesus is the Son of God. I know I am a sinner who needs His salvation. And from today, if God will help me, I'll follow the Lord Jesus. I'll receive Him as Savior, and I'll crown Him as Lord. It's time that you stood up unashamedly for Christ and said, yes, Lord, my values have been all wrong. But tonight, I see that the thing of greatest importance is to know God, to be forgiven, to have Christ in my heart, and to be a Christian. And I'm going to ask you tonight to come to Christ. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So I'm going to ask you to be unashamed of Him. And I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat in a moment. And I'm going to ask you to walk down the nearest aisle. Husbands and wives together, sweethearts together, young boys, young girls, men and women. I'm going to ask you to walk down the nearest aisle. And I'm going to ask you to come and stand here to give your life to Christ. Walking down there doesn't save you. But Jesus says there has to be a moment in our lives when we recognize our need and we give our heart and our life to Christ and we receive this risen, living Jesus into our heart. There comes a moment when we run the flag up and say, Lord, I'm for you. If you will come to my heart, I need you, Lord. And I'll take up my cross, and I'll follow and serve you with your help. This is your night. You know it. You feel it. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you now. There may never, never be another moment just like this for any of you. This is a crisis in your life. You stand at the crossroads, and I'm going to ask you tonight to come to Christ. And as you stand here tonight facing me, you're going to be saying to the Lord, Lord, I need you. Come into my heart and give me everlasting life. And after we've sung a hymn, the choir are going to sing it for us. We'll have a word of prayer here. And then I'm going to ask you to go just down into our side room for a moment where we'll give you a packet of literature that we want you to take home with you to read so that you'll have the assurance in your heart that Jesus is yours. Now, you're at the crossroads. This is your moment. And I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask everybody to stand right where they are. The choir are going to sing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I'll come. Now as the choir is singing, I'm going to ask you to come down the steps. There's no one here too young to come. There's no one here tonight been away from God too long. God loves us. Christ died for us. This is your moment to step into his family by faith. I'm going to ask you right now as the choir sing to come quietly and reverently down the steps and stand here to give your life to Christ. Now don't wait, you just come. Every night men and women and boys and girls have been coming. This is your moment. Wherever you are, not one of you, don't hesitate. Come right now. Counselors will come and stand with you. You come from everywhere as we pray and sing. You come. We're waiting for you. You just come from all over the building and give your life to Christ right now. You want a friend to walk with you, just ask them. They'll walk with you. You come from all over the building. Right now, you come. Come from everywhere. If you're in the top row, there's plenty of time. Many are coming. You come from all over the building. Just come and stand here tonight. Wherever you are, you just come. Many are coming. You come from everywhere. There's plenty of time. Doesn't matter where you're standing, you can come. God is speaking to you. Come quietly now to Christ. I'm going to ask the choir to hum this next verse, and this is what it says to us, that we're afraid. We have doubts. There's a conflict in our heart. But Jesus says to us, if you wait until your fears are gone, you'll never come. If you wait till you have no doubts, you'll never come, because he's the only one that can answer our questions and resolve our doubts. He's the only one that can take away our fear. So I'm going to ask the choir to sing another verse. And I know tonight many of you stand in the valley of decision. You really need God, and God has spoken to you in your soul. You know God's spoken to you, and God has asked you to come. Now come and join the many that are here. Quickly, from all over the building, there's plenty of time for you to get here. You come. Ask a friend to walk with you. You just come. Don't wait. You come. You just come wherever you are. There's plenty of time. Just sing that verse again while I'm talking. You just come. Others are coming. Whilst I'm talking, we're going to close the meeting now in just a moment with prayer. But others have come. You come while I'm speaking. I haven't asked any of you here tonight to come to me. I couldn't change your life. You know that. I'm only a preacher. I've been pointing you to Christ. I haven't asked you tonight to come and join a church, because this great company of people are representing many, many Christian fellowships across the city. But I've asked you to come to the Lord Jesus to give him your heart. And immediately after prayer, a counselor will talk with you. They'll ask you to go round into our room just at the back here. They'll give you literature. They'll have a word of prayer with you. Now, to many of you still standing in the congregation, just as I close in prayer, you come on down. Let everyone bow in prayer. Every head bowed. I don't think we've had a night yet when people haven't come during prayer time. So why don't you come now? Many a heart has been touched by God tonight. The Lord loves you so dearly, He died for you. He longs to save you, to cleanse you, to reshape your life, to give you eternal blessings. But Jesus said, you must come to me. Jesus said, if you come to me, I won't cast you out. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will receive, not turn away. And so he's calling you tonight. While I now close in prayer, if you want to give your heart to the Lord, even if you're in the very top row, there'll be plenty of time for you to come. While I'm praying, you walk quietly down. Christians, stand right back against your seat so that anybody who wants to come by can just slip past you and come down. Lord, tonight I thank you for those who have come forward this evening. I pray that tonight you will save them, that tonight they will find in you, Lord Jesus, every answer in their life met, their sin pardoned, that they will receive spiritual life, that they will have fellowship with God brought about through the indwelling Savior. Lord, make this the beginning of a whole new life for them, a new relationship with God. Now there are many in the congregation, Lord, who need you. Don't let Satan hold them. Don't let fear or care oppress them. Set them free, Lord, and bring them to yourself. Even now, Lord, let them come. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.